And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I think I find myself constantly being pulled back to just foundational things because I think the Holy Spirit's put this deep commitment in me and concern to understand what Matthew 7 is saying, that if your foundation isn't built on the rock, Jesus, and the things that are significant to him, then the storm will going to come. I don't know if you know that the storm's going to come. There's going to be spiritual warfare and attacks in your life. Your house, your spiritual house won't stand. You won't make it. And so it's always important that we haven't shifted our foundation onto things that would represent sand. Things that are very wonderful, things like ministry, other things that can get us in trouble. And so it's just always funny to me that I find myself still spending most of my time on things you can build on, things that will last. It says in verse 26 of Romans chapter 8, in the same way the Spirit also helps our weakness. We do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the heart knows. And it's just that phrase that struck me again in prayer this morning, that he who searches the heart. And the language there is the present tense verb, which is just a Greek thing that he's constantly, actively, always searching the hearts. There are a lot of places in Scripture that talks about that. One of them is in Revelation. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 23, I think it's 2:23. Yeah. And I will kill her children with pestilence. That's not good. That's talking about Jezebel. And all the churches will know that I am he who searches the minds and the hearts. And the word for mind there is kidneys, which is just a biblical way of saying your deepest inner parts and searching your heart. And I will give to each one of you according to your deeds. Now, isn't it interesting that God doesn't reward us according to our deeds unless he's first searched our hearts? For some reason, many Christians, ministers particularly, think what God's only concerned about are the deeds that are done. And the more spectacular they are, the happier God is, and the more successful I am. That's not what he says. Scripture says you can move all mountains, you can do all kinds of signs and wonders, but if God has searched your heart and found your heart lacking, it doesn't matter what the deeds are. God will reward you according to your deeds, and they have to be deeds that flow from a healthy place, a good place in the heart. So I was just thinking again about, God, what are you searching my heart for? Because it says in chapter 1 that Jesus has eyes like fire, like flames. And we've talked about this enough over the years that we understand that's not because Jesus is just intense or that Jesus is judgment. It's about his love for us, and his love is intense. It's burning, passionate, never-ending, intense. And with those eyes of fire, because he searches our heart, the eyes of God run to and fro throughout the whole world, looking for anyone whose heart is perfect towards him. Not whose walk is perfect towards him, or whose theology is perfect towards him, but whose heart is perfect towards him. And so when Jesus, these eyes of fire, searching my heart constantly, what's he looking for? He's looking for love. He's looking for love. He's looking for that place in my heart and how much of my heart loves him. This is why, again, the wisdom of the church has been, not this church, is that one of the first things you say at every time we come to worship is not just when we come like this season, we don't go, the first statement is, oh God, bless me and make my life better. Because that's the way most people come to church. That's what it's about. Now he does that stuff, but it's bless the Lord. Bless his kingdom. Because we're here to love him. To love him back. And when we quote that first, now hear it again, because I know you've heard this, But are we walking in it? This is what his word was for me. You see, here's what I'll give you a prophetic word. And this isn't a prophetic word just for CTK. I mentioned it these last couple of days that I've preached here because I've been talking about revival and talking to you a lot about different revivals and things that God's put in my heart. And with every reel of revival, there is a stage in that revival. The Holy Spirit comes first. But there's a stage in the revival that's a massive stage. It's foundational for the revival to continue. Though there's more than just that, but it's repentance. It's not morbid introspection, condemnation, guilt. It's just a brokenness before God and how little we love Him. And there's a place in Zephaniah, if you remember, in Zephaniah chapter 1, and where it says, speaks of Jerusalem, if you know that God speaks about Jerusalem as being the object of His love. Speaking about Israel, His people, and He says there's a place where God brings out His lamps and searches the objects of His love. Objects of His love. I believe those lamps are the burning eyes of Jesus. And what He's looking for is, do we love Him back? Do I love Him? Is there a fire in my heart for Him? You say, well, Bishop, that's just so simple. But I think that's the thing that fuels revival in a person or in a place. Not, does this feel good? Is that awesome? I get to do these cool things, or I get a title or a name or a position. You know, how many prophetic words do we get? Really, think about it. You know, and prophecy is an important thing in my life, but how many prophetic words have you gotten about, do you love God with all your heart? Do you allow Him, do you welcome His searching, burning eyes to see if there's love in your heart for Him? And only from that place is there authentic motivation for what you do. Because we love the Lord our God with all our heart, and like unto it, we love our neighbors ourselves. It's got to flow out of that. I don't hear that very much. What I hear most of the time are prophetic words. Oh, you're going to jump mountains, and you're going to have millions, and you're going to travel this. Those are all good things. But I think one of the things God's wanting to do is grow up the prophetic. And the first thing to God should be the first thing in our heart, too. Doesn't we won't give those words, those other words? I've given a gazillion of them. But what God's looking for is first love. First. The first and great commandment is that we would love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength. And this is where I find myself again in my walk with the Lord. And I know it's part of my personal revival. I believe it's going to be part of the revival in Selma. We're going to have people weeping before the Lord. Not in guilt or introspection. But the joyful weeping of repentant heart whose heart is broken and now hopeful. Because what our great desire is, above everything else, is that we'd love Him back. So God is searching my heart. God's searching your heart. We're in a time where God's pulled out the lamps. I believe that's a true word for this country. I believe that's a word for the church in this country. And I believe that what we're going to start seeing around this country, where revival fires have begun, there's going to be an outbreak of glorious repentance. As people's hearts are broken, as He searches their heart and they discovered how little we love Him. He doesn't search our heart out of anger. He says, for His pleasure we were created. Do you know that we were created to find pleasure in Him? We were created to have the pleasure of loving Him and the pleasure of knowing He has pleasure with us. Do you know that? That's the first things, but it's also the most important things and always will be. My prayer for me, so you pray for me, is that I will not live in spiritual insanity. I won't live in spiritual deception and put anything ahead of, Lord, search my heart. Promote love there. You see, I believe the Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. And I don't believe that just means he gives us new insight and revelation. That's really what we think. I think he leads me into the experience of all truth. The Holy Spirit's job is to make these things real in us. And the first thing the Holy Spirit's going to do, and he'll never give away for that being the first thing, is to teach us about the love of God and ignite in us to love him back. And so he's always searching our heart. What does it say about the Holy Spirit? I prayed it just a minute ago. In Revelation 4, he is before the throne, burning. God-loving God. Jesus, who has eyes of fire, the Holy Spirit who burns like a torch before the throne, he wants us to be burning ones. Jesus already is. That's his great, great priority. Because the scripture says you can do all these different things. And he says, and these things are important, like faith is important. That's not faith towards people. That's faith in God. Hope's important. That's not hope towards people. That's hope in God. But he says the most important one is what? Love. That's not first love towards people. It's loving God. And he says that before he says, desire earnestly the gifts of the Spirit. You know, there shouldn't be a chapter division there. The last thing he says before he says, desire earnestly the gifts of the Spirit, that the most important thing is love. And if we do everything else in the world, but we don't have love first for God, it's nothing. It's just noisy stuff to God. Then he says, now desire earnestly the gifts of the Spirit. So I just encourage you to welcome the lamps, for God to take up his lamps and search your heart. I believe he's doing it in the church in America. I think he's going to find a bunch of people who love him or are beginning to love him, or who go to bed at night and go, Lord, I just want to love you more. It just stirs him. Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.